that we might not sin. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. My little children. We talked about that last week, too. These terminologies were like children. I can't remember the other ones that we looked at, but we looked at some of those words that talk about family terms. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. So just in verse 4, it was these things write I unto you, that ye might have joy. Now John is saying, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Just some reminders about sin, okay? Sin always brings death. That's something you need to just remind yourself over and over again. It always brings death. Yes, if we're saved tonight, we're only going to die physically, praise the Lord. We will not die spiritually because we're in the hands of the Lord. But sin always brings death. James writes about it. Remember what James said in chapter 1, verse 15? That when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It always does, guaranteed. So as we think about sin, number one, sin has a penalty. Sin has a penalty. Remember, these are things that you and I need to know, just like we know that the sun rises in the east and the sun sets in the west. Just see if you're awake, okay? Sun rises in the east, and set, we got to really know it, okay? So that we can repeat it to someone else. I was reminded of that again tonight. I was watching some preaching earlier tonight, and that's what the preacher kept. He said that a few times, that we would be able to take what we're given at any moment and give it to somebody else. He made the statement, everyone is a teacher. Everyone is a teacher. Every Christian should be teaching somebody the principles of the Word of God. And so, sin has a penalty. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The penalty is death in hell. That is the penalty. How about Revelation 20:14? Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Sin has a penalty. I'm thankful tonight as a follower of Jesus Christ to no longer be under the spiritual death penalty because Jesus died for us. Great choice of that second song, both of them, but that second song. Isn't it amazing how the writing of that song was leading to a point where in that fourth stanza that, wow, we're saved. He offers us forgiveness. We're not condemned anymore. Aren't you glad you're not condemned? Go to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. I'm thankful tonight as a Christian, I am not condemned. Look at Romans 8, please, in verse number 1. Mark it and let it mark your heart. There is therefore now no condemnation. Would you say those two words with me? No condemnation. Let's do it again. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Let's say that. Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. But who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. When the devil tries to say you're condemned, tell the devil he's a liar. If you're saved, you are no longer condemned. You know, I like what someone said. If the devil tries to tell you about your past, remind him about his future in case he forgot. Right? The devil knows what his future is, but remind him of that. The devil tries to bring up, but you messed up over here and you messed up over there. And we're going to talk about that in a minute regarding victory. But sin has a penalty. But when we're saved, we're no longer condemned. Romans 5:8 is a verse you need to know. And you need to know it because you need to give it to somebody else. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. By the way, this is a one-time transaction. One-time transaction when we get saved. We trade our sin debt for his robe of righteousness.
Jesus paid it all. I'm no longer going to be tried for a case. We can no longer be tried for a case that has been thrown out once and for all. In my case, in your case, if you're saved, it's been thrown out of the court. You're no longer condemned. In fact, I believe we're as safe as Jesus Christ is safe. Is Jesus Christ going to spend eternity in hell? No, neither are you. And that's the very reason why. Because we're as safe as He is safe. We can receive forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ and His atoning sacrifice. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Please, we were there. Romans chapter 8. Further down in Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Right along this line, it says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is," what's those two words? "Risen again." Amen. He's alive. He's not in a tomb. He's alive. He's at the Father's right hand interceding on your behalf. And so what encouragement that is, "who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." The death of Jesus Christ satisfied the wrath of God once and for all. So number one, sin has a penalty. Number two, sin has power. Well, yeah, we're on our way to heaven. Praise the Lord. Devil can't take me to hell. I've got this thing. No problem. Hang on. Sin is powerful. It doesn't matter that you're on your way to heaven and not going to hell. Sin still has the power to defeat me and to defeat you. So we can't have that attitude about it, that now that we're saved, it's going to be easy, easy peasy. I don't think anybody thinks that. But we have to be careful, right? 1 John gives us the prescription for having daily victory over the power of sin. This happens over and over again. Getting saved is a one-time transaction. Having victory over sin happens over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Until Jesus comes back and meets us in the air, we meet him in the air, or we go to heaven by way of the grave. We're always going to have a battle with sin. I'm thankful today that we have someone helping us. We're not alone. I like what he said in the Great Commission. "Lo, I am with you always." Matthew 28, even unto the end of the world. Just like salvation, I am completely, don't lose sight of this, I am completely dependent on the Lord to have victory over the power of sin. It's all of Jesus for salvation, but let me tell you, it's all of Jesus for sanctification too. And it's going to be all of Jesus for glorification. Nothing. I can't have victory over sin. You can't have victory over sin in your own strength. But in the Lord we can. The indwelling Holy Spirit of God is more than capable of giving you and me daily victory over the power of sin. And he's got it available. All we have to do is ask for it. Sin has power. Now, salvation, biblical salvation, does bring change. It does bring change. You can't have the Holy Spirit of God. I can't have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of me and not change. It's impossible. It will bring change. It will bring, firstly, it will bring a new way of thinking. New way of thinking. Before we got saved, the thinking was, you've heard it said before, if it feels good, do it. Well, that's not how we think as a Christian. It ought not be anyway. Because a lot of things feel good, but they're not right. Our feelings are not how we live our life, by the way. We don't live our life on feeling. Now we do, and it backfires, okay? I do, and it backfires. No, I don't want to live my life on feelings. We want to live our life on facts. We want to live our life on the Word of God. It never changes. It doesn't change in 2021. It was the same in 2001 when Anchor Baptist Church started. It'll be the same in 2041. Can you just think about it? It's weird to say that. That's only 20 years from now. I mean, I'm only going to be 68 in 2041. How old will you be? All right? Don't tell me, all right? 2041, that's a long time. It doesn't seem like it, but it'll be here just like that, 2048. The point is this, no matter what happens between now and then, we have a resource that will give us victory every time we build on it. The Word of God, it will give us that. Sin has power. New way of thinking. You know why? Because we're under new ownership. We're under new ownership. You're not your own. You are bought with a price. Romans chapter 12. See, when we get saved, we're not our own anymore. My eyes are not mine anymore, Ezra. See these eyes, Ezra? They belong to the Lord. That means I should only look at things that please God. See these ears right here, Gloria? These are God's ears. You know what that means? I should only be listening to things that glorify God. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of things to listen to in this world that don't glorify God. Lots. Not just music. A lot of things. There's a lot of TV that we shouldn't be listening to because there's a lot of taking the Lord's name in vain. There's a lot of cussing on those television programs. That doesn't bring glory to God. And so if I used to watch those things and I used to like those things, I'm under new ownership. I got to turn that thing off. I got to flip that. I got to flip the channel, turn the channel, or turn it off. Whatever. I got to, like we said a few weeks ago. I got to get rid of those CDs. And nobody has CDs anymore. Everybody has downloads now. So you got to wipe your hard drive clean. I guess it's a whole new ball game now. Or burn the whole computer. I guess. Huh? Some people need to do that. Actually, it'd save their marriage to burn the computer. Some people. It'd save a lot of things because sin's powerful. Don't play with sin. Powerful. And so we're under new ownership. But here's the thing. We have the same body. Same body, new ownership. So it's very important how we or who we yield to. Right? We yield to the flesh, we reap corruption. We yield to the spirit, we reap life everlasting. So, number three, that we might not sin. Part of what we're going to study in 1 John is that you and I can live a life where we're sinning less and less and less and less. That ought to be our goal. You know, like we talked about last week, being dirty. We don't want that dirt on us. Okay, number four. Fourth theme, that we might recognize and overcome error. Look at verse 26 of chapter 2, 1 John. These things, okay? Have you noticed the common pattern here? Okay, these things, have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, trick you, deceive you. Verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. We have God's Spirit abiding in us. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth and is no what? Lie. Even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Right. So, part of the purpose of 1 John, that we might recognize and overcome error. John was facing the false teaching of his day, just as we should face the false teaching of our day. There were several things in John's day that he had to deal with. Let me just give you some of these quickly. One of the things that John had to deal with in his day, and again, these could be really developed and talked about a lot, but again, this is kind of an overview, introduction to 1 John, but it was that matter was evil. Matter was evil, therefore Christ did not come in the flesh. That was something that was being taught in John's day. But John emphasized in his writing that matter is not evil, but man's nature is evil. It's the nature of man, right? It's in me that dwelleth no good thing. Second thing that John was facing was that Christ only appeared to be a real man. But John taught that he had a real body and experienced death. And we believe that Christ died. He suffered. He endured the pain. Number three, he was enduring the fact that not the knowledge of truth is more important than living it. In other words, they had big heads. Not literally. But the application wasn't there. Just store it away, store it away. Know all you can. No, we don't want to know all we can just to say we know it. We want it to change us. We want it to transform us. And so John taught that what we believe is confirmed by how we live. And by the way, that's so true, isn't it? Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. How you live speaks a lot louder than what you say. They need to match. That's what John was overcoming. The fourth thing that he had to deal with was only a few spiritual few would understand spiritual truths. I'm here to tell you today that John teaches us, and we'll look at this later, that all believers can know and understand God's truth. You have this and you have the Holy Spirit. You can understand what this book says. Sometimes we need a dictionary, okay? I'm not saying we don't use the dictionary. I'm just saying, don't let anybody tell you, well, you have to have 4 years of Bible college and 4 years of this and 4 years of that and this and that and this and that. You know what? No, you have a Bible. You have a willingness to learn. You have a teachable spirit, which is the same thing. And you just yield yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. You can know what this book has for you. It can be applicable to your life every day if you want it to be. It's the roadmap, isn't it? The Holy Spirit, turn over to John 16. John 16, please. We have a world today that is filled with religious deception. And John wants us to be able to recognize error and overcome it. Look at John 16. Again, it's not about you and it's not about me to overcome these things. Howbeit, John 16, 13, howbeit when he... the Spirit of truth is come. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I love that statement. I need guidance. Okay, look what the Holy Spirit offers. Guidance. I don't know what to do about this situation. Ask God's Spirit to help you. He will guide you into all truth. I'm not sure if this is right. Talk to the Lord about it. Ask the Lord about it. This is one of the emphasis of 1 John. Number five, and I want to wrap up. We're going to spend a little more time in our prayer time, but this one I'll give a little bit of time at least, though, is 1 John 5. 1 John 5. It's a verse you need to memorize if you haven't yet. Major theme of 1 John, number 5, is that we might have assurance of salvation. That we might have assurance of salvation. In John's gospel, you're turning to 1 John 5, and we'll look at 1 John 5 in just a minute, but in John's gospel, I want to read John 20, 31. John 20, 31, it says, but these are written. Isn't it amazing, the theme, the style of writing? These things, 1 John, over and over. Now John 20, 31, these are written. You know, it's amazing how some people think this, you know, how does a book come together like this, written over thousands of years? How does it come together like that? Why? Because it's God's Word. That's how it comes together. 40-some authors. Amazing. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So that's salvation, John 20, 31. The same writer now tells us in 1 John 5, 13. You're there, right? What's the first two words of 1 John 5, 13? These things. There it is again. I'm writing some things to you, John says. I'm writing to you that you might have joy. I'm writing to you that you might overcome error. I'm writing to you that you might have victory over sin. I'm writing to you that you might have fellowship. And I'm writing to you that you might have assurance of salvation. It is written. It's just like Jesus in Matthew 4 saying to the devil three times, it is written, it is written, it is written. John is saying, hey, I've got something I'm writing unto you. These things I'm writing unto you that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. In the gospel, according to John, we learn how to be saved. In the epistle of John, we learn and are assured of the assurance of our salvation. That's a mouthful. We learn and are assured of the assurance of our salvation. These things I've written unto you, that we might have the assurance. We have fellowship. We have sonship. By the way, I wrote this down and it helped me. It challenged me. My assurance is anchored in the same place my salvation is anchored. Jesus Christ. My assurance is anchored in the same place that my salvation is anchored, Jesus Christ. You say, but what if I don't live up to? It's not about you living up to. You don't live up to be saved. You come as you are to Jesus Christ, and he saves you just as you are. And the same way that you came to Christ is the same way you are assured of it. Your anchor is in Christ, not in you, not in me. My anchor is in him, eternal life. Is a present possession. It's a present possession. If you're saved, you have eternal life right now. Right now. You don't get it when you die. You have it right now. Because when you die as a Christian, that's it. You die physically, that's it. You don't die again. You go absent from the body, you go present with the Lord. What a great day that will be. My assurance of salvation is not anchored in how I function as a Christian, my performance. My assurance of salvation is anchored in the facts of God's Word. Again, when you start to doubt, go to the Scripture. These things have I written unto you. Man, I just keep having a battle with this sin. These things I've written unto you that ye sin not. You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Sinning less is not determined by us sitting in a chair and saying, I'm going to sin less today. I'm going to sin less today. No, it's by being connected to the vine, John chapter 15. It's by being filled with the Spirit. But John says these things, and we'll go into these in a little bit deeper way. The need to hear the simple gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ does not end once we embrace the gospel. Every time we hear the message of salvation, we benefit by it. And we are assured by it. And we are helped to continue in it as we hear it. And embrace it over and over and over again. Repetition is always the key to learning. So, these are some things that we're going to learn from the book of 1 John. But remember, it's the statement, these things have I written unto you. They're all in the Word of God. I'd encourage you over the next month or so, read 1 John as many times as you can. Read a chapter a day, maybe a chapter every other day or something. It's only 5 chapters long, and just keep reading it. Make notes. Recite a verse that speaks to you. If you write notes on your Bible or you write notes in a notepad, make notes, because then the next time you come back around and read it again, there's the note. And even your note will speak to you again. But I'm encouraged by this book, and I pray that as we journey through it, God will help us. So the 5 things, one more time, that we might have fellowship. That's what we're going to learn. We learn in the book of 1 John that we might have fellowship. Number 2, that we might have joy, full joy, that we might sin not, that we might sin not, that we might recognize and overcome error, and that we might have assurance of our salvation. That's the overview. Now we're going to go back through in 2 weeks. We'll start that, God willing, and dig a little deeper.